Welcome to the Youth Threat Plus podcast. I'm Becky.
I'm Ollie. And between us, we've had over 30 years of experience as working as youth workers for churches.
Today, we're talking about youth work and mission for youth. We're unpacking mission trips abroad for young people.
We wanted to try and think about what are they, why should we or shouldn't we do them, and what's some of the theology behind mission trips.
As usual, sharing our experience of youth work and what it was like for us taking youth on global mission trips.
We thought it would be good to start by sharing our experience of mission trips. Becky, what's been your experience of mission trips abroad as a young person? And then I'll share something about what it was like for me being a young person doing mission trips.
Yeah. So my experience was I grew up in church. My parents were both Christians, but I only became a Christian when I was 19 and did my first mission trip when I was 20. I went to Tenerife on a trip organised by 24/7 Prayer with an all-female team who were all a group of strangers to me, which was really out of my comfort zone as a shy 20-year-old who'd only been a Christian for a year. And our aim was to support a Christian centre there who did outreach with lots of the British club and bar workers. And then the year after that, I went to Albania when I was 22 with an all-women team from my church. And our aim was to run a women's outreach event with the local church there. So that's me.
And I grew up in church as well. And started taking my faith more seriously when I was older, probably about 15, 16. And my first mission trip, I was 17 or 18, and we went to Poland, and it was not glamorous. We drove all the way there in a minibus, which was quite good fun, and we had lots of like time to get to know each other as a team and loads of community time, which was really great. And essentially, our mission was that there was a kind of evangelical church that had started in a place called Krotoszyn, and they were sort of seen as a bit of a cult by the established Catholic Church. And there were people there who were, they were nominally Christian, but just kind of cultural. And the church wanted to appeal to people, but they were sort of seen as a cult. So we were essentially the English people who came and added to their holiday club. And part of the offering was English language skills. And so we would prepare very last minute, partly because that's my style, and also the youth worker who took me, it was his style, would be preparing like lessons or games, or and we do kind of Bible stuff. And I went there a few times and it kind of progressed, and the person in charge of it gave us more and more leadership, which was really cool. It helped us to develop. We made some good friends and we did some stuff that you definitely wouldn't be able to do in the UK, like staying in an old abandoned castle and cycling there through a thunderstorm, which was quite scary, but I still remember it.
And the second question is, how have mission trips been a part of our roles as youth workers? Do you want me to go first with that one?
Yeah.
So my first youth work job, I was 22. I just started actually when I went to Albania with that adult team from my church. And then my first experience leading a youth team on mission, I co-led a team to the Philippines. I think it was in the first year of my role, it might have been the second. And so we had connections with this church and charity in the Philippines for a while at the church that I was at. And so it was like a continuation of that relationship, really, and going over there to help them with some of their stuff they were doing in different communities. And so the connections with the Philippines and that church and charity passed to me after that first trip of co-leading the team. And while I was in that role over 8 years, I led 4 more youth trips to the Philippines and took youth there who were staying for a few months. So we had some young people who went over there for, you know, 2-3 months at a time. And then I took a 5th trip to support we had a long-term missionary that ended up being there. That we sent from our church. And so one of the trips was to go there to sort of do a bit of a how's it going with her in person and take her to a nice hotel and do a bit of respite and prayer and sort of vision stuff with her for her role there. So the church I was part of then was very missional. Like, we had a lot of global links with quite a few different countries. We had missionaries in several countries. And as a church, we offered several trips each year to support those connections, connecting churches and charities. So yeah, we had a lot of mission stuff that we did. And we took those teams that we took to the Philippines were like 6 young people, 8 young people, 10 young people at a time. So it was quite a, and the Philippines is obviously quite far away. So it was quite a lot of money to raise and a lot of preparation over a long period of time. Yeah, to do those trips.
Much more organized and kind of strategic than my experience of doing youth mission trips as a leader. So I, our first one was here. We, so I'm at the church I'm working at now. I also was working with a charity called WorldShare, who are really great. You should go and check out their website. But I went to Moldova with them because they were supporting a ministry there, and went to, and I thought this is a really exciting opportunity to take some young people to experience a different culture and to do a trip. So my plan was, I took it to the PCC that we'll go to Moldova. We had a little bit of a plan laid out for what we were going to do there. And the PCC were really uncomfortable about it, because it was Moldova. And I think some people had some ideas that, like, young people will be getting kidnapped off the streets and stuff. And it wasn't a structured enough idea, I don't think, for the people. There was no, the sending organization were WorldShare and they had loads of experience, but the PCC were nervous. Anyway, two young people who were over 18, and we had an amazing time. And we worked alongside a fantastic charity out there. We helped them, like, at their youth centers, and by help I just sort of mean we attended and went with them. It's called Beginning of Life Moldova. Also check them out, they're really great. So we went there, we took two over 18s, and that was the kind of first taste of leading a mission trip as a youth leader. And I thought, this is great. The relationship that we built with the young people that we took was amazing. That for them it was really formational. One of them went on to then come and work with me for a year later, and he's a fantastic guy. And so that sparked it. We then had a kind of diocesan thing where you could go to Sweden. So they wanted youth leaders to go to Sweden and help run confirmation camps, which is, if you don't know what they are, Google about confirmation camps. It's a Swedish thing. Sounds really weird, but they use it quite well as a missional opportunity. Basically every kid kind of goes to a confirmation camp, whether they're Christian or not. It's a chance to talk to them about God. Anyway, I went and helped out with that and thought, yeah, we should bring some young people here, like, Sweden's safe. And so again, just did a kind of rally round for anyone who wanted to come, took a small group of young people, and we helped out there, and then took them for a second time round to re-meet the people who we'd met. And then most recently, I was talking with another youth worker, and he put me on to Rain Ministries, who are a local charity around here. And they ran mission trips to Moldova. And I was like, oh, Moldova. I know Moldova. It'd be really great to go back. And so we took a group of 5 young people, and the trip was planned for us. And there was things set out for us to do, and the relationships were there. And it was really good, really great. That was in 2020, literally just before pandemic hit. We only just made it there. It was at the stage where you were a bit nervous about someone coughing on a plane, but you were still willing to go on a plane. And looking back now, I can't believe we went. But again, it was a really incredible time.
There's different types of mission trips as well, aren't there? Like, some are really practical, and they might build a house for a family, or, you know, do something that's quite practical where they might not ever meet the people whom will be beneficiaries. My experience was that we were working directly with families and youth and kids living in poverty in the Philippines. So, like, we were helping the church and the charity there to do what they normally did. So we were like extra hands providing, you know, activities on the street for kids to do, providing activities in the center and stuff for people to come to. And support and encouragement for those staff and volunteers who did that stuff all the time. So I think it's worth clarifying that there are like different types of mission trip, I think, probably.
Yeah, we had some very practical stuff that we did with ours, which was really good fun. And it appealed to a different, we had to smash down a wall because they were building a church in a house. So they were kind of effectively remodeling it. So we just got to smash things and people went out and delivered food, which was really cool. And then we helped run holiday clubs.
Okay, let's unpack the case a little bit for and against global mission then. Because obviously there are varying thoughts out there of whether it's useful, what's good about it, what's bad about it. I guess one of the biggest elephants in the room is like the whole white savior complex thing. And I think if I'm honest, like I've thought before, like, am I really going to be that useful? And am I contributing to negative stereotypes to be the kind of person who's coming into the situation being like, I'm here to rescue you all and use my skills in a way that you don't have. We're here with our money and skills to rescue you out of poverty. And
I think that's very quickly killed off when you actually go on a mission trip and you see the scale of whatever is happening in any culture, as isn't happening in ours. And I think there's always that cringy moment where someone's like, yeah, we're going to go and save Moldova. Like, oh, no, you die a bit on the inside. But then once people have experienced the place and realise all of these countries are filled with talented, incredible people, and almost we get to go and see what they're doing and join in, I think it does. Yeah. That was one of my big nervousnesses of like, what are we doing? We're not going to fix, like, kind of naive to think that we can fix anything. Me and four teenagers is just what Sweden have been waiting for their grand revival.
I guess it's one of those things, isn't it, that's worth being aware of to make sure that we don't contribute into those negative stereotypes, but also sometimes we need to be aware that we use that as a barrier as well and a reason to not do stuff. So it's all about mindset, isn't it? But I guess the other big thing is that obviously there's a big cost to fundraising and taking young people to another country, whether it's far, you know, and the flight's £1,000 alone, and you've got to raise that money per person. Like, surely it would be way cheaper just to go to a nearby town or to your own town centre and do mission. What do you think, Ollie?
Well, so that actually got suggested to me when I suggested the mission trip to my PCC. Someone suggested, "Oh, why don't you just go to like Bolton or somewhere? There's four people there," which is true. And but no one wants to go. Like, not in a mean way, but if you're trying to get people excited, you're trying to get young people excited. If you say, "Do you want to come to Tenerife or do you want to come to Moldova or Sweden?" The ones who are on the fence and you want to learn about mission will be like, yeah. And the ones who, like a keen will go, but you only get the real keynotes if you're going somewhere that doesn't sound exciting. And I think if we acknowledge that a big part of why we're doing mission trips is for the good of the young people we're taking, it's not about, oh, what's the best way that we can serve this community? It's about doing two things at the same time. Obviously, you don't want to take from the community. You want to bless the community that you're going to. But the reason we're doing the mission trip is to bless the young people as well. And so I think that sometimes helps to justify the cost a bit. It gives a big life experience for the young people we're taking, and that travel and going out of your own comfort zone. And I guess it's a decision you make, isn't it? If actually you think it'd be really good for my young people to experience just giving, and then you just send a load of money to a charity that are doing great work. That can be good too, but I think you lose some of the relational affiliation.
And I guess sometimes you can do a bit of both, can't you? Like, you could raise money to bring with you on a mission trip, or you could, I mean, sometimes people need actual things like medical supplies or clothes or whatever that you could bring with you to help support the work that you're doing. So it's worth being aware of doing it both and, isn't it, sometimes? And obviously, like, raising money can be hard as well for the cost of trips. But I think, in the long run, it's worth it, isn't it? And like, you can learn stuff along the way as well with that fundraising and with getting young people involved in that process. One of the other cons, I guess, can be faith barriers, like maybe the view that like our Christianity is going to be different to what we're going to experience there. But also, like, sometimes we have the mentality, don't we, that only Christians can do mission. So, you know, this is a mission trip for Christian young people, and if a young person wants to come and they're not in the club yet, then we're not going to take them.
Yeah, that first thing I experienced when we first went to Poland. So we'd been on the minibus, and they were just very, the church in Poland were just very charismatic and probably a bit more conservative than we were. And so we arrived, and it was, because I'm old, it was when Harry Potter, the sixth book, I think, was just out. Like, literally, it had just come out. So the whole minibus, everyone, like, we've got, I mean, more of the nerdy ones, of which I was one. We've got, like, the sixth book, and we're reading through, and I don't think you can give spoilers now, but, like, you got to, like, crucial points, and that's all we're talking about. And then when we got to the church, we got there for the Sunday service, and the first sermon was about how Christians shouldn't read Harry Potter. And we were all like, put our books behind our back, put that next to the Bible in my bag. Yeah, and I guess, you know, at the time in England, Harry Potter was very popular, less so now. But it was a definite kind of barrier. And we've taken young people, as in when we went to Poland, there were people there who weren't Christian. And I think it can be really cool. You were saying, Becky, before, that you'd had young people go with you who aren't Christian and have experienced.
Yeah, so the longer I was in that role and the more trips I did to the Philippines and the more connections I made in my role with young people who were not part of the church, because my role there was to sort of do more youth outreach than the church-based stuff. There was two youth workers, so yeah, both of us did youth work, but my role was like outreach stuff in the local school and after school club and that kind of thing. And we had a young person who we'd known through our after school club who asked if she could come on the mission trip, because I think she'd seen a poster or seen it on the wall or something. And at first I was like, of course not, like, we're not going to allow her to come, but how do I let her down gently? And then I was like, actually, what's the harm in allowing her to come? Like, if she wants to experience it, who am I to say no, she can't come? If her parents allow her to, and she can raise the money and all that, all those caveats, obviously. So yeah, we brought her with us, and it was a like really good experience, I think, for her and obviously for us. Like, we did a bit more prep in terms of what to experience, because she had no church background at all, and church we were part of in connected within the Philippines was really charismatic. So we wanted to make her aware of what was some of the stuff that might happen during the church service, and people being filled with the Spirit and people crying and all those kind of things. So I kind of think we have to be a bit open-minded. I think everybody, whether they would say they're a Christian or not, are on a journey of faith, aren't they? And I guess, who are we to say when someone's at the right stage in that journey to be able to experience mission? And what kind of knock-on effect experience on that mission will have on their faith perspective and faith journey. And I think sometimes God does lots of times God does way more than we ask or imagine or expect. And so sometimes we have to not kind of compartmentalize things in a way that forms barriers for people to experience it.
Yeah, and I think it's easier that if you see it as like a joint thing. It's not like we're going to go spread the Christian message to some country that's never heard it. Like, we're usually, all of the mission trips I've gone, Christianity is already there, God's already doing stuff, and we go and we grow through it. I'm going because I want to the young people I'm taking to grow, and I'm going to grow through it. And so it's a two-way thing. Like, we encourage and spur each other on, so it doesn't matter where people are. If they want to, I think if they want to come, then they want to come, as long as they know what it is and they don't get tricked into it or think, oh, this is a cheap way to go to Spain or Moldova. It's been good. I think culture shock is another thing that you touched on, like, it can be culture as in Christian culture, but it can just be culture as in culture. In Moldova, it was a culture shock for me to see that the level of poverty that exists in Moldova, in quite a westernized place, really. So you've got like a Clark's shoe shop and like an Apple store and like, and these malls called Moldova, which I think is quite funny. But then you go into like this block of flats and there's like an entire family living like in essentially one room that's like got dirt floor and just like nothing I've ever experienced. And so that can, I think those kind of different cultures and different exposure to things that you've never seen before can be quite hard to deal with, quite difficult. Mm. And then you get the reverse, don't you? Like when the young people come back, we've all experienced this thing together. my young people said I spoke way too much about the long drop toilet, but when we were in Moldova, there was a long drop toilet and like you were cold a lot of the time. And, you know, just lifestyle was totally different. And then we didn't have our phones with us because there wasn't much place to charge them and you didn't want to lose them and stuff. But then you all have experienced that. And then you come back immediately into our like comfy, soft Western world that we're in. And it can be a bit of a shock both ways, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Like I think that's all in the preparation, isn't it? Like I remember when we took young people to the Philippines, some of the stuff they experienced was like visiting communities who lived under a bridge and had nothing. And then like when they came back to their life in the UK, they like felt guilty to open their wardrobe and have five pairs of shoes to wear and, you know, loads of clothes in there. And so it's part of the prep, isn't it? And the debrief when you get back to try and mitigate all those things properly and help people to be able to deal with what they're going to experience and what they've just experienced. And like one of the things we learned was that it's actually good to do that during the trip as well. So like at the end of every day, like we built in on purpose, like a debrief time where we'd sit down as a team and we'd talk about what were the things that what we'd experienced that day that were particularly hard or that had moved us or that, you know, where have we seen God at work and who could we pray for and like what could we do about some of the stuff that would experience. And sometimes like it's coming to terms with the fact that you can't do anything about it. Like you want to be able to take babies who live on the street home with you back home to life in the UK or be able to give away all the things that you brought with you in your bag, or you know, you want to be able to give away all your spending money or like come into terms with some of that stuff. Like it's really important. But I think also like you said before about the culture shock thing, it's like being aware of what the culture is that you're going to go into, either hearing that firsthand from somebody who's already there to prepare the team properly for things that are going to be different.
I think that's really important. And that's why it's good to go. That, from my experience, it was much better going with an established organization, and that, because they prepare you for what the culture's like. And so our most recent time, they had a whole like 2 or 3 days of briefing and preparing people for what the plan was, what it was going to look like, some things they might experience they hadn't thought of before. And I think that's a really important part of a trip. Should we talk about some of the upsides?
I was just gonna say one more thing about a negative was that sometimes I think you can be some of the barriers for taking young people on mission can be thinking about the logistics of it all. Like obviously when you're away from parents, you are the guardian for those young people that you've got in your care, which can seem like a massive deal. But also you've obviously got behavior young people while you're abroad that you've got to try and deal with. You've got safeguarding stuff like safeguard, it might not exist in the country that you're going to in the same way. You've got all of those things to kind of mitigate and deal with. And sometimes they can feel like too much of a barrier and you're going to just sack off going on a mission trip because of those things. Whereas I think all of them, they can be a challenge, but it's worth it in the end.
Yeah. And I think experienced people, either charities or people who've done it a lot, are really helpful with that. That's what I found. been like, how do I think about this? And they can be managed really well. Yeah, I definitely think if people are thinking about doing it as a first time, they've never done a mission trip with a group and it's a bit overwhelming, definitely reach out for help, either to Youth Work Plus or to some another charity or someone you know who's done it before and knows what they're doing. I've found that helpful in my experience, particularly some of the safeguarding issues and how you manage that well. Yeah, there's some stuff that happens. We were definitely sat in the boot of a car once, which would definitely, there were no seatbelts. We tried to mitigate that so that it was only adults who were in there. Yeah. You wouldn't do that in the UK.
Well, in the Philippines, we traveled around in a minibus that had like two wooden benches in the back and no seatbelts as well. So we definitely didn't do a risk assessment for that, but everyone was okay. We never had any problems, but
good.
Yeah, let's talk about some of the pros. I think one of my favorite pros is that obviously you are getting to build deeper relationship with the young people that you take, and there's not really anything like it. You obviously get some sort of hint of an experience of that when you take young people on residentials or to youth festivals or things like that, Christian youth festivals, but it's different, isn't it, when you take young people abroad, because it's a concentrated period of time. You've got that whole travel period to get there. You spent weeks preparing for it with preparation meetings and all those kind of things. And it's a lot more concentrated experience, isn't it?
Yeah, and everyone's vulnerable. Everyone's a bit uncomfortable. Everyone doesn't really know what's going on or what you're doing. You kind of bond together as a group through a kind of tricky experience, I think.
Yeah. And then one of my other favourite things is just the perspective change of going to a different place, meeting other Christians who worship the same God as you, but perhaps in very different ways, and perhaps depend on him way more than we do. That has been like a real positive for the times that I've been.
Yeah, and seeing God as the same God in a place that's totally different, or, you know, different enough that the culture is different. And so, hang on, but God does similar stuff. Because so much about our church is like cultural, and it's hard, it's easy to lose what's God and what's just our culture. And I think it's really cool when you go somewhere, you think, oh, God's kind of the same, even though our lifestyle and the way we've grown up is very different. What God's done in your life and what God's done in my life is the same. And just that inspiration that you can experience there. And just like in that, you have your faith and your comfort zones kind of stretched. So you kind of have that idea of, oh, I can do this. God can do this. And I've been somewhere that's difficult, and I've done something that's a challenge that I don't normally do. God was with me and I was able to do ... And that's one of my biggest things that I've loved, where it's been successful. And it's not, mission trips aren't always successful for every young person you take, I don't think. But I really remember seeing one young person totally thriving in an environment they thought would be too much for them, and seeing God using them and their unique skills and the character that he's given them to, like, she was just amazing with these children. And it was really a beautiful moment, which only really facilitated by the fact that the trip was a really appealing thing, that it was scary, but she knew it was scary when she was signing up, that we were kind of well supported and resourceful. We were somewhere unusual and alien, which encouraged that next step. Because I think it's so much easier when you're not in your own culture and when you're already a bit unsure to take a brave step of faith, where at home, you know, even if you're like, yeah, let's go down to the park and talk to people about Jesus, firstly, no way, because these guys know me, and secondly, like, yeah, everything's so wrapped up in the way things normally are, we don't normally do that, and therefore we won't normally do that. But when nothing's normal, I think it encourages us to take good risks and do good, exciting kind of faith development stuff. And I think that's amplified by a mission trip.
Yeah, and you realise you can do stuff that perhaps you didn't think you could do, which is magic, isn't it? I think also, like, there's that whole possibility, isn't there, for long-term real connection with not just with causes further afield once you come back from a trip like that and you want to perhaps support work abroad financially or sponsor a child or all those kind of things. But also there's an opportunity there, isn't there, for your church to be connected long-term with the place. So like our mission trips were part of ongoing like long-term connection with those churches, and like that led to like gap year students from the Philippines coming over to the UK to be part of our church for a year and be part of our youth team, and also young people that we took on those mission trips short term wanted to go back there for longer to experience it, you know, for a gap year or for a few months or those kind of things. I think sometimes it can birth passion in young people that they didn't know existed, and neither did you, for some of those causes and for those places and people abroad, and to be able to support long term with those places, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that speaks a bit into the financial thing, that yeah, it costs a lot of money and it's a big initial outlay. But even just from a kind of pragmatic point of view, if two or three of those young people get a heart for that particular charity or that particular cause and support it financially, even, you know, they go off and they get a normal job, but they give to a charity that supports that. Mm. Almost it's a net gain.
Yeah.
And I think it changes people's perspective as well. I think if you just experienced your own culture over and over, your horizons stay, this is what the whole world's like. And to just have a bit more of a global perspective and a bit of a, oh, wow, the world isn't just the town I live in, the village I live in, the uni I go to, the country I live in. Mm. You know, God's global mission is much bigger than what I see.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really helpful lesson to learn, that what God's doing is more than what I can see.
Yeah, that's a good one, isn't it? And I think often like young people want to travel anyway. And I guess the other option is they can just go on holiday abroad. And I guess it'd be better to spend money doing a mission trip than it would just going on holiday. If it's an either or. I guess there's going to be a lot more they can gain perhaps from experiencing mission than there is from just your average holiday, isn't there?
Yeah, it's capturing a desire they already have. So you're not dragging them kicking and screaming and resenting. They really want to go.
Yeah.
Partly because it's exciting to travel. And I think that's okay. We have to own that. Like, of course, I'd rather go to Borneo than like Birmingham. It depends why, but like, you know, of course you want to do that. We love to travel, we love to experience new things, and so I think tapping into that desire that already exists, there's nothing wrong with that, and you're using it as a tool for what God wants to do in your life and in their lives and in the lives of the people you're partnering with through community and commitment to each other. Do we want to talk a bit about the theology very briefly? I think
we
don't have loads to say.
No, I guess the most obvious one is obviously the Great Commission. Jesus said, go, spread the good news. The emphasis there is on go, which I guess could be translated as go next door, go to the end of your street, go to a nearby town, go to, you know, another area of the UK, or literally go to a totally different country and spread it there. I mean, it could be go anywhere, couldn't it? And I guess sometimes we forget that go bit of the commission.
Yeah. And I think God's a globally missional God. God is a missional God. And so when we take part in anything missional, I think we're kind of joining in with the work of God, and we learn more about who he is and what he's like through that activity. And that's what I want for my young people. And that's totally. That's what I'm trying to get them to experience and see. And yeah, that experiential theology is an important one. If people are interested in more theology about mission trips and mission and stuff, there's Andrew Root has written this book, Unlocking Mission and Eschatology in Youth Ministry. It's very good. That probably has a lot more to say about mission and mission trips and all the theology and stuff that goes behind that. I found it really like formational when I was reading it. if you want, if you don't have a, can't get hold of it, you can contact us and I'll send you my copy. I've read it now. I'm not going to read it again. If you want one, first person to contact us can have my one.
Yeah. But it's not just that one individual part of the Bible that talks about mission, is it? It's all over the New Testament. You know, the disciples were called to, and the church is called to be missional in all sorts of ways, locally, globally. We can't really ignore that. We all are called to mission in some way or another. We might not all be called to go to move to Cambodia to be missionaries, but we can all experience global mission in some way.
Yeah, and that's the joy of a short-term mission trip, I think, isn't it? Like, I don't think I'm called to be an international missionary, but some people are. And so you get those young people and they experience it and they realise a calling. Or people like me go and see, experience mission and a calling in the short term, and you learn and you grow through it.
Why don't we unpack some of our biggest wins and maybe some of the challenges as well, and whether we would take young people on mission abroad again?
Yeah, I would definitely take young people on mission again. And I think for me, the biggest win is the transformation in young people's lives. Just seeing young people grow in confidence and that kind of depth of relationship with God. I think that's it. That's, for me, that's sort of what it's all about. The other stuff is kind of secondary. How about you?
Yeah, I think it's hard work, isn't it, to organise all the logistics and fundraise the money and prepare the team and gather the team and all that stuff. But it's also glorious at the same time. Like, it's totally worth the effort. Like, the benefit that you get from building relationship with the young people that you take, and all the other benefits that we've mentioned previously, like, they totally outweigh like the hassle of having to organise it and the burden of having to raise the money and all of those things. One of the biggest benefits was encouraging the staff and the volunteers who are already there.
Yeah.
When someone's willing to go like around the world to visit your project. And
yeah, exactly.
Like, that says something, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's a personal relational thing.
So I definitely recommend it. I think there's a few other recommendations I have. Like, I'd probably say, like, have good links with the country that you're going to. Don't just rock up in some country that you've never been to and that you haven't prepared, properly a trip to go to. Like, there's all sorts of mission organisations that you can help to plan your trip. Urban Saints does mission. We used to use international teams. There are other mission organisations that their whole thing is helping prepare youth groups and other groups and individuals to go on mission and help and organise the trip and all the logistics that go with it. There are like Christian insurance companies who insure mission trips and all those kind of things that you realise once you get into the depths of the logistics of organising it. It's a good idea to research properly and find out all of that stuff before you do it. You can talk to somebody who's led a mission trip before if it's the first time doing it. I'd recommend go on one yourself as well before you're going to lead a team, so that you know firsthand what are some of the things to expect and what you benefited from, and have the experience yourself in the bag before you organize a trip. I wouldn't say you have to do that, but it's definitely beneficial to do that, and I know it helped me. Is there anything else that you'd recommend, Ollie?
Yeah, I think if you've not done it before, work with a charity or something. And if you need help finding those, because it can be expensive as well. You can look around and think, oh blimey, that's cost loads. Yeah, if you want support in that and some of the logistics, you can get in touch with us and we can help with that. And I would also say, make sure you put the hours in building community with the team that you're taking. So once you've recruited, there's a lot of stuff that happens on a mission trip. And I think the strength of relationship that you build beforehand. So we had the excuse of kind of planning what we were going to do because we needed to have already taken a program. But so we met in this office and we just sat around and talked about what we were going to do. We prayed together. We shared our kind of nervousnesses and our things that we thought were going to be a battle and issue. We talked about some of the rules that we didn't like or thought were silly that we were signing up to. And I think that time of community then helped as we were kind of put into the fire of being really uncomfortable. And I would say make it a brave step. Go somewhere uncomfortable, somewhere where you're going to be stretched and challenged, and go prepared, knowing that, you know, prepare yourself and the young people that you're not going to go change the world, but you might change yourselves and hopefully be a blessing to where you're going.
Totally. I think as well, like, it's part of the prep, the proper prep before a trip is figuring out what's going to be the most useful for you to do when you get there, and like having a relationship with the place where you're going to go, or making sure it's properly planned through a mission organization will help to do that really well. So you're not assuming that what you're going to bring is going to be helpful, but you're actually going to be preparing something that's going to be really useful when you get there, or that's going to contribute to their ongoing work that perhaps they wouldn't have been able to do without your team coming. We're definitely pro mission trips, I think, is the consensus.
With some caveats. I think they're a good thing. They get bad press sometimes, but I think it's an unfair bad press. I think they're good things to do, and they're pretty exciting.
Yeah, and there's definitely like lots of benefit for the team and the youth leaders who run it, to be able to experience God in totally amazing ways too. And like Ollie mentioned, like if you want help or want to talk through it before deciding whether mission's right for your youth group, then that's what Youth Work Plus is for. We help support youth and children's leaders. We give advice. We meet for coffee. We chat to you on Zoom. We provide resources on our website as well. Don't forget to check out our website if you haven't been there already, www.youthworkplus.com. And we're on Instagram and Facebook as well. There's plenty of stuff on there to help support you if you're a kids or youth leader, and whether you're paid or volunteer, we're for everyone. Whether you're local to where we are in Oxford or Milton Keynes or further afield, we're mostly only covering the UK at the moment. Although if you are in another country and are thinking about doing mission to the UK, then we're up for that too.
Come hang out with us.
So yeah, we want to say thank you for listening. Obviously, don't forget to rate, like, share, subscribe. It will really help other people find this podcast. And we will see you next time.
Yeah, get in touch with us.
Yeah, get in touch with us. Cheers. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.